Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And holy, where do we start? Where do we begin? Do we start internationally and drill down to locally? Because boy, there's some upheaval at City Hall again in Vancouver. We've got the legislature back and a throne speech. We got a massive hockey game to talk about. Oh, and some federal politics to kick into, and maybe just a little bit of Invictus Games.
All that on Unspun coming up.
When I texted you to say we're back today, right? Because I'm back from doing Invictus Games, and you're like, it gets so depressing.
It's so depressing. It's so.
The people need us even more, though, George. They need us even more.
Yeah.
They do.
Okay,
They
where do you
do.
want to start?
You know what? Let's start with what happened at City Hall.
Okay,
Because I saw the press release come out, and you know, I know Rebecca Bly outside of politics and media and whatever. And so I texted her, like, what the hell? What
Yeah,
is
I do
this?
too. I
And
do
she's
too.
like, what? And then I'm like, and she's like, literally, the press release you got came 2 minutes after I got a phone call to tell me that I'm out. So she was expecting a phone call to talk about issues. And she got a phone call saying, thanks for coming. And then the machine kicked in. And I thought, wow, what went down? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I
Haven't had a
think
chance to
there's, I don't know
discuss it.
either, because I'm meeting with Rebecca. I was supposed to meet there yesterday, but I had to cancel because of a family birthday party. But because I'm curious, and she and I are friends, and but yeah, as you said, it was a surprise to her. And it's what's interesting is she was one of his key people. Like he brought her into politics in the first election in 2018. They worked, they worked together, I think, and they were part of that organization. From what I would guess, based on the decisions that we made, one might be the gas vote, which she voted against, or not allowing natural gas, and then she defied the caucus. But so did Peter Meisner, I believe. And then I think there's the whole issue related to development and housing, and she's been not playing the same tune as ABC, so she's not been caucusing, so she's not pulling the party line. And that's tough. That's tough for Ken, for sure. But clearly, he's terrible at caucusing because he's lost half his people in 2.5 years. I mean, the guy—he must not have a whip. When I was there with Vision, Jeff Meggs was basically their whip. He was a counselor, but he kept them in line. And of course, there were staff in the mayor's office. They never strayed. And when they did, they just wouldn't show up. If you knew they were going to want to vote against it, a Vision person would go on a some kind of investigation, some conference somewhere or whatever, because they didn't want to be in the council chamber
An
defying.
offsite work meeting. Yeah,
Exactly.
offsite. I've got an
Yeah.
offsite.
So, she just betrayed him, I guess, and defied the caucus. And so that, we talk a lot about that kind of stuff. If you lose control of your caucus, you're done. I think he's done. I would say he can't run again based on this. I don't think there's anybody in this town. I think I talked about last time, the polling that I've seen puts him at the
Talk
worst
about it
than Kennedy
again.
Stewart was. This guy can't run again. There's no way. They're done. I
It's
think ABC's
wild.
toast.
It's yeah, just
It's
Vancouver
shocking.
City Hall. Vancouver City Hall is perennially chaotic. And it's just, and when, okay, I want your opinion on this latest move by the mayor of Vancouver with regard to policy on the downtown east side and the plans, you know, literally for how many years have we been doing this now?
Seven, sorry,
90,
season seven, so
seven season, yeah, 90 years.
yeah.
But we've talked about the downtown east side in every episode every week for all of our now almost 7 seasons. And it feels to me that putting out a press release of how you've decided to clear it out doesn't solve anything. Is there
No.
something new here that I'm missing, George?
No, I mean, I talked about this. We've talked about this so many times. The only way to do anything in any neighborhood, there's the city plan, the Vancouver plan, but you need to do strategic community planning. You need to engage the community. You got to put up, it's a growing city. We know that. We have a predictive growth. It's 1% per year, forever. So where are these people going to live? How do we build communities? How do we ensure that neighborhoods keep their identity
Right.
and yet also accept the growth? Well, you have to connect with the neighborhood, and you have to present things in the proper way and get sign off from the neighborhood and the city in general. This was community planning process has been the bedrock of why Vancouver is such a beautiful city, because we went had these 22 neighborhoods in a city that have multiple community plans over the years, and now it's going on 10. Well, it would be in 2000 when I left. That was the last community plan, that neighborhood plan that was done, 2018. So we're on six years, 7 years without one community plan. The downtown Eastside community plan is absolutely flawed. It's so restrictive to anything that nobody does anything. So therefore, you get nothing. So you end up with the same old, same old. So if the Ken Sim had wanted and had announced something in December of 20 whatever year he was elected, 2022, we might be at a different place here, because he could have said, first and foremost, let's figure out this downtown Eastside. Let's put a community plan together. Let's get the staff in place. Let's spend the $5 million it takes and do it, and get buy-in. And build this community back up, whatever that might look like. But we're not going to tell you what that's going to look like until we do this process. And they haven't, and they didn't. And now he's just making announcements with 1 year left. It's bullshit. He's not going to get anything done. It's like such a wank. Like, give me a break.
It does feel performative at best. And it's sad that specifically our the mayor of Vancouver, but Metro Vancouver, and the upheaval we've seen within that organization. We talked about that in our last episode. Just the sheer waste associated with that unelected group who wield significant power over the south coast of BC, and then our provincial government, everybody working what appears to be in silos, and all of it just a bunch of tax dollars going, going, going. And one need not be a conservative to feel that that is wasteful, right? We are looking at the downtown east side turning from it was once in our lifetime, it was a place where we would go with our grandparents and go to the food floor and have an inexpensive meal and then walk down these beautiful streets, cobblestone streets, and soak up our city and then veer into Chinatown and enjoy, that shop through the produce. Like walking from Woodward's to Chinatown used to be something we would do on a regular basis to fill our time on a tight budget and be able to feel the community. To walk that same stretch of road now is like walking through nothing short of a war zone. And
100%. The
it's
word I
on
remember that
all of
woman that,
us.
yeah,
Yeah.
remember that woman used to do the preaching in the corner? There was
I
that,
do.
she would yell, and that was the scariest thing to me as a kid, was this woman who
That
was
was the
yelling,
scariest thing.
and that still wasn't that scary. We have some friends, Amanda's mom's here, best friend is here from England with her husband, and they went for a walk, and she wouldn't, her friend wouldn't, she had to turn around. She was too scared. She saw, two people on the ground with needles hanging out of their arms, out, completely passed out.
In
Normal
your
to us
neighborhood,
now, normal to
not
us,
walking. Yeah. Yep.
normal to us,
Yeah.
but not
We're
normal to
walking
her.
by things. It's normalized. You're right. It's the fact that it has become at all acceptable. It was just yesterday that officially the government of British Columbia has
Yes.
pressed full stop pause on the safe supply that we have been talking about was being diverted to black markets, which of course it is. But the argument from the pro safe supply group was that at least that which was being diverted was not tainted with fentanyl. Like there's no way to truly fix this without stopping the flow of fentanyl coming into the country and being utilized and made in this country. And the shocking part for most of us is how law enforcement largely knows who the bad actors are, but are unable to do anything meaningful about it, which is, that then we get back into repeat offenders. It's not a secret who the people are who are trafficking in these drugs. Like, and we should have been following the money that was being laundered through our housing market years ago. But because it filled government coffers with land transfer fees and ta da 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 da, I was like, well, I mean, it's still, I mean, it's just we're making a lot of money here. And it was the Vancouver model is now the Toronto model, and now it's across the country. And this the idea that where some throw down, the talking political talking points that are like, look at how bad it is in Vancouver. It's bad like that everywhere now. Unfortunately, we could have put this genie back in the bottle long ago. We didn't. And now how do we do it? And that's on all of our elected leaders. And to be performative in any way about other things, well, this is ongoing and people are dying at a rate that's
Well, this morning,
remarkable.
as
It's
just
just
sort of hot off the presses with Solicitor General announcing the seven mafioso groups, I guess you call them, that they will now come down hard on the heels of the American announcement yesterday that they are now terrorist organizations, which
yeah.
gives them much more freedom to go after these
That's the
guys.
power. Where has this been?
But it's interesting to watch these progressive, the federal liberals, the NDP, so-called progressive governments trying to, backpedaling and trying to find a way to say two things at the same time. Oh, well, we did that, and but oh, now we have to do this. You're like, yeah, you guess what? You made a mistake. You've been doing it
Yeah.
wrong. It didn't work. As much as you might, save supply, that's it's such it's the whole thing we talk about all the time. This is not one simple solution to end this problem. We have the housing, we have homelessness, we have drug addiction, we have psychological, psychiatric issues. We have no place for these people to go. We deinstitutionalized,
Right.
we unfunded the federal housing program, yada yada yada. We've got cuts to programs, going right straight to my, when I got involved in politics, it was my kids' school where I had in the pack where I'm like, we have to raise how much money? Why are we doing this? I'm paying taxes for schooling. Why do I have
Right.
to raise $15,000-$20,000 in a
For
teeny
the
school of
playground.
200 students? Like, there was only one taxpayer. So, anyways, we are here and we'll see. But yeah, the Ken Sim stuff that they're announcing, it's like, whatever, dude, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, let's go federal politics because we're ever closer to the Liberal Party of Canada choosing their new leader, who will be the next prime minister, who will then call an election, and then we all go to the polls. Take us on the journey, George. What do you see happening? Because when we were going into this, when Justin Trudeau finally decided that he was going to read the room and step down, that led to at that point, Pierre Poilievre and the Conservative Party were what, 30 points up in the polls? That shifted immediately upon Trudeau's announcement, but it was still a massive gap. Since the entry into the conversation of Mark Carney, former Bank of Canada lead and former Bank of England, like we could sit here and rattle off Mark Carney's resume, along with Chrystia Freeland, who was the Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister under the Trudeau government, largely the two front runners in the leadership race, safe to say. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think yesterday was telling in the big announcement of the high-speed rail from Quebec City to Toronto. This is a what we I've called is referred to as called pavement politics, and this isn't a highway, but it's a train. It's how you win elections. So the key to the Liberal success will be Quebec. The polling that we've seen is that, of course, that gap is closing, but the gap in Quebec, with all the Trump BS, is they're freaking out, and so they are going to shift from Bloc very likely to the Liberals the first time in since Trudeau. I don't even know how far back, but Brian Mulroney I think managed way back to that's get Quebec, and that definitely will secure them or probably a minority government for sure, if that trend continues. And I don't see Trump changing any of his policies before the next election here in Canada. So,
Just
assuming
wild.
that we know who the leader of the Liberals will be, and then that move to put all this money into Quebec, the fear that's happened in Quebec, it's nice to live in British Columbia, but we really don't matter on a federal election. It's depressing
We
a little
don't.
bit, but it's Ontario and Quebec that will
Yeah.
decide who the next prime minister will be. And with
Always.
that announcement
Quebec and the
yesterday,
Golden Horseshoe, really.
yeah, exactly. And so that announcement yesterday, I'm like, like here we're going, what? In Vancouver, but in Quebec, they're going, yay, thank you very much.
Pavement politics.
It's so obvious to me what's happening, and I would say that that certainly should secure them. That's not, it's still a million years to the election. We don't know when the next election will be, but likely May, mid-April, probably,
Do you
maybe late
anticipate
April.
it's Mark Carney?
Oh, I mean, yes. I mean, I
Well, I
can't.
just had to get you
What
to
kind
say it.
of
Yeah, I mean, I love a George
scenario?
prediction. I love a George prediction. You know I do.
What
Had
kind
to
of
get you to say
scenario
it.
is this guy gonna lose? If he did, it would be quite like mind-blowing if he did. So
Oh, yeah.
anyway, so
I
and then he's
mean,
got to deal with Trump. So we look, if say the conservatives manage to find a way to get their messaging out, because they still have the same argument, that's which is still a solid argument, and that announcement kind of feeds into it. Like, well, what are you doing with our money? But unfortunately, if they get Quebec, it doesn't matter what they do with their money. Quebec will decide the election.
I'm gonna argue that the Conservative Party and Pierre Poilievre was working really, really hard down the "we are a divided, broken country," and he was like, right? And we've seen that. We've seen it work. I mean, we're watching it in the United States. It worked to get the current president elected down there, but I don't think people are feeling really great about it on either side of the standoff in politics down there,
No, no.
with the tariff threat and the national pride and rally call to unity in Canada is forcing the Poilievre camp to shift its narrative, because being divisive now is not resonating with Canadians, whether you agree with that or not, in terms of you think it's divided or not, like
Yeah.
not you, but
They
one
have to shift to
my
competence. They have to shift to
right.
competence.
They have to, yeah, shifting to, and one of the things that I don't know if, did you watch Rosemary Barton last weekend when she interviewed Mark Carney? Did you happen to see
I saw a
that?
couple of clips. I didn't watch the whole thing, but she was pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing because I record that show, and on weekend mornings I will like pit in with my cup of coffee and just like hang out in bed and just tune into it. I love watching Gary Mason when he's on the panel. I love Chantal Hébert. I mean, she's a national treasure. They're all great, but I appreciate the varying points of view and whatnot. And I think Rosemary Barton is very smart. She is informed. There's a reason why she holds the position she does. And in that conversation, if somebody wants to say, "Oh, the CBC is owned by the liberals," and da 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 da, you watch that interview and see if you think Rosemary Barton is softballing Mark Carney, because she is not. It was this close to rude. You know what I mean?
I think there's a lot of people saying it was rude. I mean, you
For
gotta,
sure.
yeah.
But if she had been a man in that position, nobody would have thought it was rude. It's that it
Ha
was a woman doing it. It was. It was. Men have been way more forceful in their interviewing. The only thing I really didn't enjoy was the interruption bit, because I wanted to hear the end of the thought, but then I understand time limits and he does talk
Oh.
like this for a
No.
reason,
He's
right? But he was also saying
yes.
things that for me as a Canadian who wants to be informed and wants to know who our prospective next prime minister might be, the way he talked about Trump in particular, like, I'm actually not going to tell you what my plan is, because that's best strategy in negotiation. You don't tell somebody what you're going to do
Not going to think out
next.
loud like Trump does.
No. And how do you feel? So, do you want to add to that? Do you have opinions on the
No,
Carney piece, or do you
that's,
want to
I mean, I
pivot
think,
to the
yeah.
premiers?
Well, we've both interviewed Adrian Dix.
Oh
So
my Lord, absolutely. And he's so funny after. He's like, "Sorry, that was a little bit long.
God, he's the worst
Adrian,
because
you talked for 7 straight minutes on my first question."
it's brutal. He's like,
We got to wrap him up.
Let me
No
jump in.
kidding. So, what about the premiers going to Washington, D.C.? Thoughts on that?
I think talk about performative. I mean, it's nice to try. I think they were put with the most junior people. I think it, we're at a stage. I mean, that was almost like a year ago, and that was like so.
Yeah,
It's a
right.
lifetime ago. We're so much
Yeah.
further down the hole of hell here right now that
It was
I
a week
can't.
ago, bro.
I read this most depressing article about the end of democracies. Hitler did it in 57 days. It took a couple of years for a generation for Rome to fall. Trump's trying to beat the record, I guess. He's at 30 days and dismantling democracy in America, as far as I'm concerned. And we, there's a lot of people coming after me because I'm not, and the guy accusing me of being a socialist on Twitter. I'm like, I literally said to him, "Can you just check my bio, please, and do a Google search of me?" And he did, I guess, because he came back at, "Sorry, man." I was like, "But still, how can you support?" I'm like, I didn't respond to him. I'm like, dude. But
Oh
I,
my
you know,
goodness.
I do think that we're in trouble. And as Canadians, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I'm really worried for us, our safety, our borders. There's no end to what these people are capable of. And I think our new prime minister needs to take this really seriously. But I don't see, I don't see how are we going to defend ourselves. Europe's not going to come. England's who's going to. And then Ukraine, it's just, I'm really worried. I mean, I've got kids, you got kids. Like, what are we going to do? This is, they're first going to try to destroy our economy. And then we'll probably retaliate by shutting off the power, which will then they will say it's a reason for them to attack us, like physically. That's what I'm worried about. We are at
I
that stage, and I
have
don't think
more
anybody could
optimism than
deny it,
you. I know that's going
really.
to shock our regular listener and viewer, but I'm more optimistic than George when it comes to this. I believe that there are two-thirds of American people who will stand up to that. I
I
think
see it.
all of America is in shock with the things that are being done in and to their country and how their constitution is currently being attacked. What we control in Canada is how we treat one another and how we try to move forward mindfully and with a plan to protect future generations of Canadians. And in doing so, not get sucked into the chaos makers, because it feels a lot like these guys are making as much chaos as they can while they just fill their coffers because they're greedy and
No, it's a
they're
plan.
power mongers and what have you. I think that there's more to be said about European leaders understanding Canada. Canada was first in to World War II from North America. America kind of stood by while Canadians went in and fought and died for global security. And I think that there are leaders across this globe that will stand with Canada. I mean, obviously we're facing the global superpower to the south. I am quite again, optimistic after watching current and veteran service people for the last couple of weeks talking about the politicization currently happening in North America, and the people who serve do not agree with the chaos makers.
Sure.
They are very much like what David Eby said at the opening ceremony of the Invictus Games, an unscripted, heartfelt. If you've not watched it, you should watch it. You can find it on my social media because I was there recording it. I was doing the host broadcast and actually the world feed broadcast and host broadcast on TSN. And everybody was blown away by what the Premier of British Columbia said when he said, "We have stood by and fought with and protected together for generations. And if you need us, we'll be there for you. And we know that when we need you, you'll be there for us." I think there is that is the movement of people and the conversation that needs to also be with the worry and concern. I'm not discounting your worry and concern. I'm just saying
Yeah.
I'm going to focus my efforts on the optimistic side. I'm going to walk in the footsteps of my family who fought for me. And I will fight for my son and
But
future generations in my
this is,
family,
I
one
know.
thing at a time. I will
I
do
just,
one thing at a time,
what I
and I
don't,
will not give up.
I literally think
That's just
Trump
me.
and Putin have, no, and I think, I agree. Of course, I want to be hopeful, but I think Putin and Trump have already had this conversation that happened this week about how they'll divvy up the world. And
Yeah, both of those men are going to die eventually.
doesn't matter. This is a they have
I think
made.
it
He's
does.
obviously talked about Ukraine today, the things Trump's saying about Ukraine. He's and told and he's not even with the G7. He's not signing a
I'm
letter
aware.
of it's insane because I
It
believe
is
that.
insane.
So even if we wanted to, Europe is going to be trying to save itself. It has no time to deal with us.
I understand that, George, and
So
we can
they
argue
so
this
but
all day
just
long. I'm
but
just telling you
yeah yeah yeah
that
no
all
so
of
the
those people in the entire world all have family and friends and
No, I
stake in a
know,
game,
but
blowing up the world and destroying democracy worldwide will also affect Americans.
yes, but
Like,
the
at
problem we
some
all
point,
have
someone's.
as North Americans and as a, you know, we have to. Oh, I've lost you.
He's still talking. Are you
Sorry,
still talking?
it
Oh my God, I got a picture of you frozen. It was at magic.
was
It was
it?
like, you were
Okay.
telling me the world is ending. We should all just roll up and die. We're screwed. We're all gonna die. And I'm like, wait, this was where it got good. Hopefully the recording is working
I know I
because this
linked
is
on
what
my phone right
Unspun is all
now.
about.
My internet's crazy today. That is funny. Anyways, it's sad. Anyways, I just think what we're all facing, my point being, for those who we had a glitch there, but is we don't know what to do. Americans, people who are passive or people, they don't know what to do. How do you
We don't know
decide
what
what
to
you're
do.
going to do? How, do you
We don't know
march
what to do.
on Washington, D.C.? This is the challenge Americans face right now. What are 90 million Democrats or 200 million, whatever number there is of Democrats in America?
Whatever the
What
number is,
exactly is
what
the
do you do?
process for this?
Yeah.
Storm the Congress? They did that, and they ended up getting my, you know,
No.
what is the, that's the
Start rolling up to the
challenge Americans
Supreme
have right now.
Court.
What
We're
is
gonna
the,
see.
how do they, what are they going
Yeah.
to do?
This it's the slow when Steve Bannon in 2016 started the flood the zone. He talked about it. You flood the zone. You make it chaos so media can't follow along. And media's been so starved that newsrooms are down to a handful of people straight out of J school who are working their tails off, by the way. That's not a slight. It is reality, though. Everything is underfunded. Keeping tabs on this, everything's just top line clickbait. Who can read it enough so we can sell more advertising so we can stay alive? That's a huge problem. And social media is a whole other ball game. I mean,
Well, the guy owns
we've
one of them.
watched. That's why Elon Musk spent $$400 or whatever the heck it was to buy
40, yeah.
Twitter. There you go, $40 billion. Well, it feels like $400 billion now. I don't even know the numbers
Well,
anymore.
and apparently, Facebook owns, rumors they're now basically running TikTok, and it's only a matter of time before they control TikTok. So, you know, we have these
So make
conglomerates,
sure you
which,
educate your children. Educate your children about what is true.
yeah, I
Make
know
sure
it's a
you
big
talk about what
conversation.
is true.
You
Yeah.
must talk to your son. I got my kids.
I
We're
do.
talking. Evelyn's in England. She sees a whole different perspective over there. She's, you
Oh,
know,
yeah.
it's, you know, and everybody's feeling for us, but feeling ain't doing. And so, at
No.
what point are we going to have to say, let's close our borders? Like, what do we do?
Yep.
When, you know,
Yep.
sorry, America, you're not welcome here. You
Right.
can't come up. We don't
Well,
trust
right
you.
now we're taking all their tourism dollars because their dollar is so crap that the U.S. tourism into Canada is like quadrupled.
Yeah.
It's like, great, come on up here, spend your money. And then we stop going there, and we're a huge part of there, and
Yeah.
that's gonna undercut,
40%, I saw the data this morning,
right?
40% down in the border crossings for February. From the in the BC border crossings, 40% down.
Yeah,
That's huge.
not surprising, not surprising at all. Hey, we're
How do
two
we end this
minutes away.
happy? How do we end this happy? Let's just quickly tell me, Invictus, you were there for 2 weeks. Just
Okay, I'll tell you.
give me a 1 minute summary and how and keep us. Let's end on some motivational moment here.
It was the best. It was the time of my life. Last I spoke with you, I told you I was going into Invictus Games. I had no idea. The stories of the participants, the people that I met, the crew that I got to work with was all of my Vancouver television launch team from, you know, almost 30 years ago, tw you know, 28 years ago. Unbelievable. It was just a baby. It was my first job in TV. It was
Yeah.
my first full-time gig. And they're all, they were, it was just unbelievable. And then JJ Chalmers and Jonathan Edwards, my co-hosts, I fell in love with them immediately. We had the shorthand immediately. There was not a single stressful moment or word within our entire crew. Got to know the international sports broadcast team from Madrid, headed by Ursula Romero. She was unbelievable, and she does the World Games and COP, and she's unbelievable. ISB's incredible. Greg Breckle, another local who now lives in Madrid and gathered this team together. Of course, Scott Moore. I can talk about Scott Moore all day long and twice on Sundays. I love this man. But he basically, like, he was my last guest on Steel and Vance. And in the midst of our pre-tape discussions, and Linda was talking about something to do with Edmonton, and Scott paused her and said, excuse me. And looked at me and said, sorry, before I forget, I'm going to need you to host the world feed for the Invictus Games. And I remember thinking, What? Like, I didn't know what he meant. I didn't know that he meant the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony and a daily show that I was basically going to be the face of that unbelievable event that he
That
was.
is a bizarre moment. Linda's like,
Yeah, I don't think she really heard him, but it doesn't matter. I am forever changed by Invictus Games. And if you haven't watched Heart of Invictus on Netflix, watch it. And if you think that all of the noise around Prince Harry is real, I can tell you I spent an afternoon with him. I spent an hour with him when he stole my job. And we have a bunch of photographs together where in one picture we're all like sitting proper. And I had my hand on JJ Chalmers' shoulder. I love JJ. But he was sitting next to me and Harry was on this side of me. The Duke was on my left. And I had this picture with one hand on JJ and click. And Harry goes, "What about me?" And I was like, well, okay. So I put my arms around both of them and everybody squeezed in and the crew all, it was just,
touched
it
the
was so
royal.
great. It was,
Nice.
he was just lovely. I know there are people who want to believe tabloids. I'm telling you, first person account, don't buy it. Clickbait. Anyways, I loved it. It was this.
Nice. All right, well, let's get out of here and go get to do
Okay, well,
other
you're
stuff.
on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram and all those things. Your on Twitter
I'm more
handle is,
prolific on Twitter right now than I have been in a while. So yeah, George
I see you
underscore.
there at George Affleck, at Jody Vance. I also have a Substack at Van
Oh.
City Jody was the only handle I could get. But check out my Substack. I've got all my photos from Invictus Games. I wrote every night. I was exhausted every night, so pardon the grammatical grammatical errors and typos, but go to my Substack at Van City Jody. It's free and you can start from the beginning of my
For
Invictus
now.
journey all the way to what I posted last night.
Cool. All right. See you next time. Bye.
Hi, George.
Bye.